If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Vin Murray, OBE, serial tech entrepreneur and chairman of Advanced ADVT. The ticker there is ADVT. Vin, thanks for joining me.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Now, it's very exciting you coming on because I think it was touted as the biggest SPAC in the UK as a special purpose acquisition company, of course. You raised £130 million in March for the strategy, and we were going to discuss the strategy, hopefully. And so it's very exciting. So before we get into that, though, I think we couldn't go, you know, without talking about what you've done in the past, because I know a lot of people know about that, but people may be listening, maybe not aware of that. So let's start off, before we get into your current sort of business, let's talk about what you've done previously and how most people know about you, if you could, Vin.
Okay, so those who know me will know that I spent most of my life in software and technology space, over 30-odd years. And I have been involved with three key businesses where I played hopefully a very prominent part. The very first one was a business called Keywall Systems, which I joined in 1986 as a young graduate, would you believe? Ended up as a group COO, and we exited at a market cap of 1.2 billion in March 2000. And I joined the business at 3 million market cap and was very instrumental in terms of both the organic growth as well as the M&A growth, literally from the age of 23, 24 onwards. I was taught by an absolute master, a gentleman called Kevin Overstall, who was a mathematician from Cambridge and had spent 30 years as a management consultant growing great businesses. So I was very, very fortunate to be taught from day one the good and the right ways to run a business rather than learning any bad skills. And that's literally what I followed for the last 30-odd years. So I joined Keywall as a salesperson, ended up as their group COO for globally. We became one of the most prominent stocks in the 2000 period, and I was very fortunate to sell all my equity in March 2000 at around that 1.2 billion valuation. Keywall still very much exists. It's called BlueJay. It's now owned by private equity, some San Francisco partners, and GIC. So, you know, still very much thriving and growing.
Yeah, yeah.
The second business. Now, the interesting thing about that one was, even though I did pretty much a hell of a lot of the work, and everybody was, I mean, Kevin Overstall actually said to me, he said, we all knew that I'd done all the work, but I wasn't getting the credit. The truth was that men were getting the credit, and I didn't like it particularly. So, and Kevin remember saying to me, he said, well, you know what? You know you did it. I know you did it. Go show the buggers you did it. So, so I ended up taking all my money off the table, handing over the business over the next 12 months or so. And in September 2002, I was locked out for a year, so I couldn't do very much. But September 2002, I ended up starting again with a new business called Computer Software Group.
Yeah.
And took a shell that was worth about £1 million at the time, and over the next four and a half years, built it up, took it private with HG Capital in 2007, and then merged it with Iris and ended up selling for $500 million in July 2007.
Wow.
So if anybody remembers those dates, it was the 3rd of July 2007. The world was crazy. Even I thought it was crazy. In fact, it was a bit like now. So, you know, everybody was throwing money at you, and there was a bunch going, and we literally had built a business from nothing and sold it for $500 million in 4.5 years.
Wow.
Now, interestingly enough, for some reason, I don't know why. The business got bought by Hellman & Friedman, the US private equity firm. It still exists. It's now, it's still called Iris now. It's owned by HG and a bunch of others. It's a, it's valued at $1.8 billion now. It's a very big, great business. But interestingly enough, at the time, there was, because of the merger, I had the opportunity, if I wanted to, I mean, it wasn't offered to me, but I could see there was an opportunity to step away and do something else, because when you have a merger, there's always going to be a battle for that top role. And the two individuals involved, myself and one other gentleman, great, we're great friends and we're great people, but we're different kind of business. I'm a drive it from the front, grow aggressively and move and grow through M&A and organically quickly. And he was more of a manage the business very tightly. And so it's like, you know, mismanagement in terms of the potential joint relationship. So, you know, I just said, look, guys, love this business, great business, but you know what? I'm let me take all my money off the table and I'll go off and do something else. Mm-hmm. And that was July the 3rd, 2007. So I took every single penny off the table. And of course, we all know what happened from there on in. The world crashed from, you know, from there on in. And I had to, again, was locked out for a year, couldn't do anything. And all I do in my world is I work out what I would have got if I'd stayed at that business, because it was going to be success. I knew it was going to be success. And then I go and give myself a target to go and beat it somewhere else.
Yeah.
And so I took the money and started another business in September 2008, which was, as the world had crashed, I just saw the opportunities arise. September 2008, and literally grew that business over the next 5-6 years, sold it first time round to Vista Private Equity in March 2015 for $763 million. Both CSG and Advance had given all the shareholders at least a 10x, or the early shareholders at least a 10x, and then the business has just done phenomenally well, and it was resold in 2019 for $2 billion, and it's still growing very, very well. So you might ask, why have I called it my next one Advance? Well, because I'm so boring, I couldn't think of the right names. Computer Software Group, Advanced Computer Software Group, and Advance. So that's it, as simple as that.
So from here then, Vince, so let's talk about Advance T. You've got a heck of a record. Are you looking to beat that record? I mean, and what's the strategy if you are?
It's exactly the same strategy. It's always the same strategy. Anyone who knows me, I'm really quite boring. I do the same thing over and over again. The truth is, I look for great businesses that are generally software business, or there's an opportunity to transform something into being a digital software business, where there's high recurring revenues and very sticky customers and lots of free cash flow, and the opportunity to cross-sell and upsell to do something really quite amazing with it. And generally, where there are high barriers to entry, i.e. once you're in, it's mission critical to the organization, so therefore they can't really go. And ideally, where it's founder-owned, i.e. where the organization, and one reason I want founder-owned is because if you buy something from private equity, they've leveraged it up to the eyeballs and not necessarily always invested as well as they might have done, but they would have got a great return on the business. Founder-owned businesses, the people tend to look after the business really well. You know, they look after their customers and their people and their culture. But the one thing that often happens is when they've created something amazing, they get concerned about losing it. So therefore, they don't grow the top line as much as they might have done if they were more risk-averse. But those businesses are perfect because the customers tend to be very loyal and the employees tend to be fantastic. So if you can build on that through a combination of, you know, some kind of organic growth and some growth story around the M&A, it becomes a really great place to be.
Yeah, yeah. And how does that work?
The foundations are fantastic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And how does that work then? Do you have a sort of a short list, or have you got your eye on one target, or how does that work?
Well, I'm reasonably well known in the market, so I spend all my time talking to great businesses. I'm very, very privileged to say that I can pretty much pick up the phone to anybody, call anyone, and they will speak to me. And so I'm very fortunate that I get to speak to great people. It has to be at the right time. You know, people need to want to do something at an appropriate time. It comes to where they are in their life cycle and, you know, where their ambition lies. So you can't force anybody to do something, but you can just give them some ideas about what is possible with their amazing business and then let them come to you. And that's all I do. I mean, my job is to help somebody take their business and just put it on the next platform. it's not to recreate something, you know, just to run it as it is. And and a lot of people have great ambition, they just maybe just want to take some money off the table.
Yeah. You mentioned back there then, you said it's very similar right now to 2007, where people are throwing money at everything. And does that worry you? And, you know, how do you create the value in a sector where value, I mean, American tech has had a bit of a sell-off, but it's still a bit frothy, isn't it?
Yeah, it is very frothy. And to be honest, you have to be very ultra careful in these particular markets. And it's that old, you know, dynamic, isn't it, about when do you get out? So what I tend to do is I look for businesses whereby they haven't managed to get onto that trend for a variety of reasons. They maybe haven't moved the product onto the cloud as yet, or the founder hasn't been as risk averse, so therefore they haven't put the kind of development money into it. Or there'll be a bunch of reasons, not because they're negative businesses in any way, shape or form, but because they just didn't get on that track. And there's an awful lot of hype about certain types of sectors like the fintech space and the, you know, there are certain, and SPACs generally in the States, as it were. You always have to be cognizant of that if that's what somebody wants, then they're not your target. Okay. And as I always say to people, I want to do something that is fabulous and interesting and adds great value, and I may never be a pile them high and spack them out kind of person. But then I don't mind. You know what, that's not what I want to do. What I want to do is I want to take a fabulous founder-led business and make it, with the founder ideally, if they want to be in the story, make it into something that we're all proud of going forward. And that's, you know, I always work on each principle. Every one of my businesses still thrives to this day. And a good testament to you as an individual, and to the team actually, not just me, I couldn't do any of this without my teams, is that the businesses go from strength to strength when you're not there. And that if you get to do that, then you know you're doing the right job.
Yeah, absolutely. So you raised 130 million. Were you happy with that? Were you surprised by that?
To be honest, what actually happened was we had a great deal lined up, and then for a variety of reasons, it moved to one side. And the institutional shareholders just said, look, Vin, we know you're going to do a great thing. Why don't you just take the money anyway? So we could have taken a lot more, but, you know, there's no point having a load of money. I don't want to waste anyone's money. What my bottom line of it is, I want to do something amazing. If we can find the right amazing thing to do, then thank you, we will do it. Yeah. If we can't, I'm not going to waste your money.
Yeah.
Have it back. And I've been very, very fortunate to be incredibly successful and have made an awful lot of money. It's not about the money. It's about doing something fabulous.
Yeah. And did you put some money in?
Yeah, of course. I've got 20-odd million quid in it.
Wow. Okay. And who are the sort of main institutional backers then, Ben?
All the normal names that you can expect, you know, BGF, Marwin are involved. Excuse me. Artemis, Canaccord, Amati, Gresham. Some big, big investors. And I'm really delighted. I mean, I'm super delighted they were so supportive. But, you know, I work on the principle that, yeah, I'm a fantastic person and I'm a great personality, et cetera, et cetera. But in the end, people back you because you make the money. And money always follows money. So we're going to do our damnedest to get the right kind of thing in the right place, and then we'll go for it.
Yeah. And have you got any sort of previous colleagues from Advanced Computer Software joining you?
Yeah, of course. I mean, we're very incredibly. I mean, I have to say, when I left Keywall, a bunch of people joined me to CSG. Computers, and from Computer Software Group, they came to Advanced, and from Advanced, they're coming here. So we've already got three or four people already lined up. In fact, I had a team of 10 lined up, and they're all sitting in the background helping me find deals. But as and when they're ready, and when we find the right things, and if it's the right thing for them to be involved, because what I don't want to do is displace the current management team if they are the management team that should be running it. You know, my team is there to support, not to take over.
Yeah. And I said, you've got to wait until the right time. Do you have a time pressure on you at all? Do you feel like you have to do a deal by a certain time or not?
No. I mean, the reason I don't is because I've been around an awful long time, and there is no get-rich-quick scheme here for me. I've made more than I can ever spend in my lifetime. In the next five generations of lifetime, who the hell cares about that? What I'm really interested, can I create something? Can we do something amazing? Can we do something that will grow the next 1-2 billion valuation business? And if we can do that, let's do it with great passion and energy, and make everybody involved proud of what they've achieved.
Yeah.
And yes, people will make money because that's the nature of the game. You know, if you do the right things happen. Mm. But the bottom line of it is to create a great business that we can be proud of and enjoy the cycle and deliver something that is will thrive going for the 10 years after we've left.
Yeah, absolutely. But surely, you have you got anything? Do you think it's going to happen before the end of the year or next 2 years? Or?
That's what I'm going to try and do, but I mean, I'm not making any promises because I don't want people to think that I'm over-promising. We are actively working on lots of things.
Yeah.
And with God's blessings, we'll get something.
Yeah, it's got to be quality. Cool. All right, Vin, well, listen, every day on the podcast, I highlight the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets. To get on that list, of course, people have to hit that follow button. So please give three reasons why someone should hit that follow button and add you to their watch list, please.
Track record.
That'll do it. Vin, it's been good to talk to you, and hopefully we'll catch up in the not-too-distant future. Thank you very much.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. Have a great one.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.